Morning. I'm glad to see you all here. This is my second week preaching, so I'm relieved that some of you returned. I'm thankful for all of you guys, and if you're new here, welcome. Typically, it's Pastor Jeremy preaching, and I get to start a series with you guys, and we're in week two of that short series. Last week, we were able to explore the God-given promises, and this week, we're going to explore God-given resources. Now, last week we explored many different things. I called it a survey, essentially, of the Old Testament, it felt like, because we went through Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and then we ended on Isaiah 53 when we talked about prophecy and how amazing prophecy is and that God spoke that so many years ago and then it came into fulfillment through our Savior, Jesus Christ. But let's start with a prayer this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come before you just to say thank you. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for your holy word, and thank you for your spirit. Help us, guide us, teach us, and help us focus our efforts on you. Work on our hearts as we try to learn what your word has us for today. In your Son's holy name, amen. Well, when we explored last week, we were able to say that when God promises something, it will be done. And so we can essentially take that to the bank, that God has done it, we essentially can say. And this week we're going to be exploring the resources, as I said before. And now there are so many God-given resources, but I've just condensed it the best I could into about five categories. Now, please show me a little bit of grace because these categories are not extensive or exhaustive. However, it's an overview of many important areas in what God gives us. But first, I think it would be remiss if we don't explore one God-given resource that I didn't give essentially a category, but that's the Holy Spirit. If you were to turn to John chapter 16, 7 through 15, we see some of your Bibles, they'll have this in red because this is Jesus talking. So again, when God says something, we can take that to the bank. We know it's true. So follow along with me as I read John 16, 7 through 15. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Notice that the Spirit's work is essential. This is not an optional thing. Jesus saw this so important that he goes as far to say it is to your advantage that he goes away, so that the Helper will come to you. Also notice that the Spirit will not be contrary to God or his word. And if you would like to personally investigate more into the Holy Spirit, obviously we have this God-given resource, the Bible, but another book I would recommend is Francis Chan's Forgotten God. He does an extensive work on that, extensive, but it's an easy read in that you can comprehend what's going on, and it's all on biblical basis, not opinion. So I'd recommend that if you want to explore that further. Now, the five items that we're going to be looking for, the five biblical resources we're going to be exploring today, are prayer, time, money, talents, and the church. Now, each of these on their own could have a series. So again, I ask for grace as we briefly overview them. And each of these can be sensitive. So don't think I'm trying to attack any one person when I go over any of these. I don't know any one person's situation. However, these are five resources that God gives us. So let's just explore together. Oh, and as a side note, before I get too far in, this is ultimately all becoming more like Christ, including in our character. Again, this is not a salvation issue. For we are saved by grace through faith so that no man can boast. But we need to guard our hearts and respond to this salvation accordingly. As Jesus said, and I personally think it is a form of a warning for some, that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we want to take this soberly and evaluate as we go along. That being said, let's look into prayer. Prayer, as Dr. David Jeremiah wrote in his book, Prayer, The Great Adventure, which Dave Woolers is letting me borrow right now, and I'd recommend, I've gotten a little bit into it, and so far, so good. Thank you, Dave. He says, it is a declaration of dependence upon God. Now, that's a little bit different as Americans than what we typically hear, because we always love to hear the declaration of independence as, you know, prideful Americans. And there's warrant to that, but this is a contrary to our natural wanting to be independent from all, but we need to come to the Lord because we are dependent upon Him. We need to recognize God as God and look to Him. The Bible even goes as far to say, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And that's found in Romans 8:26. We are also reminded about the frequency of prayer. We are called to pray without ceasing. And it's also written to the church of Ephesus to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. That is quite an order. Again, let's look to Jesus' words. Again, this would be written in red if you have one of those red letter Bibles. It's Luke 18:1-8. And he, Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, to those whom he loves, essentially is what that means, who will give justice to them speedily? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. How powerful are these words of Christ, our risen Savior. Prayer is a form of worship, a form of service, and an act of obedience. God is good, just, and loving. He has adopted us as children through the work of the cross in Christ, and we ought to be thankful for that work alone. It is amazing that he even asks us, he even commands us to pray. That's an amazing feat in itself. And then we think about this unrighteous judge answering the widow's call. How much more will our Heavenly Father, who cares about you, who's crazy about you, answer your prayers? Now, it might not always come in the form that we think it will, but he will answer your prayers. Perhaps two quotes will help us kind of get our thoughts aligned. One is from Martin Luther, the leader of the Reformation. And he's credited with saying, to be Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. It's so vital to our faith. Oswald Chambers goes on to clarify our heart's condition about prayer in that he says, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. Now, a little quick blurb about Oswald. He lived by those words. He could have done anything he wanted. And at one point, he left all that he had to go serve in Africa, where he died at a young age because he was serving in Africa, because he was so convicted about where his call was. But his words still bring truth to us today because he followed. He did not focus on the difficulties. He was focused on his Savior. And again, I apologize for the brevity of such a powerful subject such as prayer. Please be praying and never stop. That is clear in the Bible. Petition to our Savior. And as a note of encouragement, for those who are struggling in their faith, I want to say continue to pray. The things that I see that dissipate first from the faith are not church attendance, giving, or encouraging one another. The first thing that I usually see when someone is losing their faith is they stop praying. Don't stop praying. Continually lean on Him. Trust our Savior. Keep praying and know that God is good. And if we're going to continue on our quotes, and this will be more concerning time, money, and talents, we look to Martin Luther again, who said a powerful quote, "Show me where a man spends his time and money, and I'll show you his God." Ouch. That one strikes me to the core. We often want to think as idols as things of the past, that the things that people of ancient times would mold by hands, craft, and make it so they had something physical to worship. But idols are just as real today. An idol is something you treasure most, even before God. For some, that's time. They value their time. For others, it's money. And for some others, still, it's their talent, their abilities given by God. Again, I ask for grace here. These are not easy subjects. No, also, I do not know how you spend your time and how you spend your money or how you use your talents, but I do ask that you honestly evaluate and frequently check on yourself concerning these subjects. These are not light. I don't know how much you donate or even if you do donate to the church. That's not my concern. My concern is the heart issue behind all of this. So let's get a solid biblical foundation just to start, and I think it just summed up so well in Psalm 24:1, and I call it "Who Owns What." It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Slow that down for a moment. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Think about it. So we are so quick to talk about our time, our money, and what we want to do. But if we come to a very simple conclusion based upon this text alone, which the Bible reiterates a time and time and time again, if we just look at that verse, we can see that it's not ours. All of it is His, every single bit. In the Bible, we can also read about tithes, and that gets people all uncomfortable, and their wallets get a little bit closer to their belts, and they hold on to it for dear life at times, and we got to be careful about that, because we want to cling to the cross, not our wallet, right? The tithe is just simply a giving of 10% of your first fruits. It's just a fancy word, 10%. And again, I don't look into that. Pastor Jeremy doesn't look into that. But that's something that's very sensitive, because if we are quick to hold on to our money, are we quick to be looking to God? We see the 10% coming from the Old Testament primarily. And some of us will get a little defensive that we think God needs our money, which is a laughable thought because it's all His to begin with. I think, as Dave Ramsey says, that if He wanted your money, you would just be he would take it and you'd be just a greasy spot sitting in the chair right there. But what, you know what? He doesn't want your money, but He does want your heart. He doesn't want your money, He wants your heart. Because He cares so much about you. He doesn't want you to perish. For it's written, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance." And that's found in 2 Peter 3:9. And as we do when we talk about offering, we reference 2 Corinthians 9:7 when it encourages us to decide ahead of time what to give and to give cheerfully, not with resentment or reluctance or with a tight fist, but cheerfully. You can't clap with your hands clenched in a fist, can you? So whether you think 10% is an exact number or a mandate of some sort, it is clear that we are to give first in the Bible. It's our first fruit, that we are not to give God leftovers. Personally, I teach that 10% is a good starting point. Notice I said starting point. I think 10% is a good starting point. I don't think that it's by accident that it's in the Bible that way. So this principle doesn't just apply to your time and to your money, but also to your talents. Why would we give someone who owns everything less than our best and first efforts, whether that's our time, money, or talent? Why would we give them the leftovers? One of the illustrations that I always like to do with the youth group is in the form of a chocolate bar. You know, those Hershey bars, I think they're in 12 pieces, not that I know. And then you start naming things that you spend your time on. And so that kind of eats away at your time, right? Your chocolate bar. So that each day God gives you this chocolate bar, and then you spend it through sleep, I hope, because we all need sleep, right? You spend it on possibly school, work. There's children. There's a lot of different things that are God-given blessings and God-given things that are good to spend your time on. However, when we get to that end of the day and we only have our wrappers and crumbs left over, is that what we should be offering our Lord? Is that the first bite? Each day He gives us His chocolate bar. Each day we spend it on what we like, and He wants us to be excited about that chocolate bar and enjoy. But why do we continually offer Him the leftovers? He owns the factory and we give Him the wrappers. Often. Not all of us are guilty of that. I talk to myself when I say all of this. We need to be conscious of this. We need to be evaluating. We need to guard against this. And again, this is not a salvation issue. This is a heart condition, something that we want to work on so that we can become more like Christ. Sorry, I got off my notes and now I'm all off pace. So when we, going away from the chocolate bar, there's also hope for us because many of us have fallen short. God is working on us patiently. Remember that verse in 2 Peter 3:9 that He's patiently working on you, that He wants you, that no one should perish. He is working on you. He wants us to become more like His Son, Jesus. He commands that you become a giver like His Son. He wants us to be a servant like His Son. We need to understand that God has a much bigger scope in mind than our mere 60, 70, some of us 90 years, some of us less. That we need to understand that James writes truth to us when he talks about our lives are nothing but a vapor, a mist. It just, it goes quickly. God's got eternal mindedness in Him because He is an eternal being. Yes, He cares about you right here, right now, but He also has the eternal scope in mind. He cares about your soul. He wants you to be like His Son. Let's have that His perspective in mind, and that He's looking for our ultimate destination of our souls. That's how crazy He is about you. That's how much He loves you. Now, the final resource that I'm briefly going to go into is one another, the church. Again, there is quite a bit we could cover, but this is just a brief examination. In short, when you become a believer, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become part of the church. Now, the church is not a building or a program, although we call our building the church. It's a location. But it's not even an organization. It is a living organism. If you were to look into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is right before the love chapter that is very popular, Paul accurately personifies the church as a body with Christ as its head and the believers as its members. The body needs all of its members to function and to function properly. In Hebrews 10:25, it is there to remind us, Hebrews 10:25, that we should not be given up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Even here, back in the day, at the early church, people stopped coming to church. And this was a battle then, that they quit meeting together. This is something that we need to counter, that we need to consciously make an effort out of, because otherwise we are pretty quick to eat our chocolate how we want. Sorry, I teach youth. I have to go back to the illusions that, you know, chocolate gets their attention. In Acts 2:42, we can read, and then we'll skip around a little bit in that passage, as you can see on your screen. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Then it continues a little bit further down in your Bible, verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now next week we'll get more and more into that, about the day-by-day getting saved, because that is our mission. That is what we're called to. That is our purpose. However, we see how important it is to meet together, whether that's here at our church building or together in one another's homes. And to insert a shameless plug, we do have the opportunity with home groups for you to become a host home. Please be praying about that. Please be praying that others are praying about that as well, as they answer this call. I fully believe that it is an important place for us today to be doing this. And a host home, it's not as intimidating as it sounds. It'll be okay. We'll help you through each step, and so will the Lord. It's okay. And now, end of shameless plug. All right, the church is a place where believers can do multiple things. It's where believers can love one another. That's 1 John 4:12. It's a place where they can encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13. It is a place to spur one another to love and good works, to encourage each other in that fashion. These sound like very positive things. I think they might be onto something here in scriptures, huh? That we need to be meeting together. It's a place where we can serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Instruct one another, Romans 15:14. Honor one another, Romans 12:10. And it is a place to be kind and compassionate to one another, Ephesians 4:32. It's where we can be the body. It's where we see Christ the most. And this is what this world needs, is Christ. And as Francis Chan puts it, I believe it's him, that says you cannot one another yourself. You need someone else involved. Since the dawn of time, God has encouraged us. He even saw it, that it is not good for man to be alone. We are created for community. Don't try to fight this on your own. Let's do this together. Let's not deny this God-given resource for one another. Now let's turn to some wisdom literature found in Proverbs 3, if you want to turn there. If not, I'll have it on the giant screen for you. Two of them, in fact. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord. That's the key phrase, I think, in all of this. Well, not the only key phrase, but a huge key phrase. Honor the Lord. And this includes with your wealth and with your first fruits of your all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. God can do more with our 90% than we could ever do with 120% on our own. And that includes with time and resources, talents, meeting together as a church. It is just so important. I think this Proverbs 3, 5 through 10 is a good summary of today, that we need to trust God and rely on his wisdom, not our own understanding, that we need to stay between those lines. I guess they're not there any longer, are they? But we need to look to him to honor God in all we do. With all those resources, those are just reflections of what the truth and the knowledge that we know through Christ, our hope, our Savior. So my challenge to you today is to properly evaluate those areas. Prayer, time, money, talent, and your involvement with one another. And I hope it's outside this church as well. So some questions to consider. Are you giving God the first fruits or the leftovers of your life? Are you giving God the first fruit or are you giving him the crumbs, the wrappers? How are we using the resources that he gives us each day? Now, I know there's troubles, but he's had them too. He's overcome all of them, in fact. But how are we using the resources we are given each day? And are there areas you ought to be using your time, talents, efforts? How can you be involved? Christ doesn't ask us for inactive participation, but active participation in the body. A body is healthiest when it's not sitting down all the time, but active. A body is healthiest when, yes, there is rest involved, and he calls us to rest, and he made the Sabbath for us. But there's also a time to be active, those 6 other days of the week, that we need to be searching for him, that we need to be exercising those muscles, working together with one another, not fighting and grumbling over meaningless things, but have the focus on the mission. And that mission we'll get to next week, so stay tuned. But for now, let's pray together, and the worship team can come forward. Lord, we ask for your help in all these areas. I know I speak for myself when I say I do fall short, and I fall short frequently, but Lord, I rely upon that cross of yours for your grace, and I ask for wisdom to trust you, to not lean on my own understanding, to fear you, to flee sin, and to honor you with every aspect of my life. Help us as we try to do that, Lord. Help us as we look to use your resources, because they're already yours, Lord. Help us give it right back to you in the form of a blessing for others and for your kingdom. In your precious Son's name, amen.